here, but those songs are moving, right? When the Holy Spirit tells you, go tell the people how good I was in your life, or I am in your life. I would like to give the Lord the highest praise he deserves more than anything. Give him all the glory, the praises, and honor. Because my last cancer treatment was over. It's over since last Friday. And I'm alive. Amen. And I'm here. So I just give God the highest praise. The song said, go through the darkest valley. And I was there. But then God has taken out from the dark. He has walked us through. He has walked me through. From my weakest moment, I can't imagine that I could survive 6 chemotherapy, 16 radiation treatments, 2 surgeries, and 17 targeted therapies every 3 weeks of my life for the rest, for the last 1 year and a half. With no damage in any organ. And God has drawn me closer to him. And yes, I believe that God is our God of miracle. Amen. And if it's not my time yet, I believe it's not my time yet. But then one day, I would love to hear from the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well done, my faithful servant. To him, I would like to just give him glory and praise. And he is our God of miracle. He never leaves, and he is our God of hope. You know, when you're going through some rough times and you think no one was there for you, it's just a battle between you and God, not the people around you. It's just you and God, and your weapons is the Bible, prayer, and the Holy Spirit is always with you. So, to him be the glory and honor and power and praise. It's just wonderful that God has provided everything we need. Yeah. My husband barely works during my treatment because he has to drive me to every session. But we never starve. We still pay mortgages and bills. We were never behind. Praise Jesus. Yeah. And I don't know. And I don't know how, but, you know, he is the God of Moses. You see, he is still the God of me and you, and he will never forsake you, he'll never leave you. Mm-hmm. You always have to have hope in him and believe that God will take you out from the darkest valley and lift you up. And at the end of everything, it says in Romans 8:28,
amen.
And we all know that all things God works for the good of those who love him,
amen.
Who has been called according to his purpose. Amen. To God be the glory.
Amen. Thanks, Susan.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome.
We'll pray for you.
Oh, thank you.
Before I trip you with the cord.
Oh, I forgot to say something.
I'll go ahead.
The doctor said at the moment there's no any concerns of cancer right now. So I'm in remission. Glory be to God. And who knows how long, but I believe it will be until Hunter is 18 and 17, because that was my prayer, until they can be on their own. But, you know, God is gracious. He might longer my life. But then if God calls me, I am at peace.
Father, we thank you for the work you're doing in Susan's life. We thank you, Lord, for how you healed her from the cancer. And Father, even just how through that time of trial, Father, how you drew her closer to you. And that, Father, she knows you more intimately than how she did before. So, Father, we just thank you for how you do use all things for the greater purpose, for those who love you. So, Lord, I thank you for my sister who loves you. We just thank you, Father, for how you provided for them through their tough times. And, Lord, how you provide for all of us. So, Lord, I just thank you for for Susan today. I just pray, Lord, that as she shares her testimony of your goodness and your mercy upon her life, Father, that other people will come to know you through her trials. Father, that you would just use Susan for your glory, for your purpose. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Susan.
Thank you for everyone.
It's awesome when we share. It's awesome when we share a praise report. So I don't know if Susan has, or we might have a journal. I know sometimes I've talked about before, if we have a journal and we write down our prayers, right? And if we write down our prayers, and we can see when God answered those prayers. And I think when we write down our prayers, then when we go through trials or difficulties, that we can look back and, you know what? My God has answered all these prayers. And he's still faithful. He's still on the throne today. And so maybe I would encourage us to write out your prayers in a book. And then in a year's time, see how many prayers God actually answered. I think that would be a good challenge. Because then we know God is faithful, but we have a very short memory. That's the sad part. Our memory might only be good for a week. And then we think, oh, God, where are you in this? And then we look and say, well, he's always with us. Because we're very short. You know, our memory is very short at times. So it's good. I would encourage us to write it out. You know, you'd be amazed how many prayers God answers, right? And God wants us to ask. You know, in Matthew 7:7, it talks about ask, seek, and knock, right? He wants us to pray. He wants us to go to him at any given time. And I think sometimes we think, oh, I shouldn't go to God. But when you read Matthew 7:7, it talks about that. Ask, seek, and knock. And if you're worried about, am I asking in God's will? Well, just go to him as a child, and God will correct you if you're not asking in his proper will. Because if you're not asking the proper will, he will direct you to pray differently. I think as we be like a child and go, Lord, Father, here I am. I am broken, and I need you. Lord, direct my path today. He will answer those prayers. But we need to come and seek him and keep knocking and be persistent. Right? My desire today in the next few Sundays is to really talk about prayer and about us being on our knees in prayer. I think when we get in the presence of God, it's kind of hard to stand in the presence of God. So when we go into our prayer room to pray, I think the best posture is on our knees. Because you're coming before the most holy God, the God who created all, and the God who is glorified. I think it's kind of hard to stand before somebody who's glorified. You think of his presence. I don't think we'll be standing. I think we'll be on our knees. Our face is kind of covered, like, Lord, I don't want to really see, but I'm thankful I'm in your presence. To see him face to face, but we will see him face to face one day. And wouldn't that be a glorious thing? Right? And doesn't that give us hope for what is to come? When we spend our time with him, to know him, then we start to have more confidence to come to him at any given time. To have confidence to know who we are in Christ. You know the Father desires us to pray? Right? And that prayer draws us closer to the Father. In Psalm 86:11, I know I shared this a while back, and Psalm 86, 11 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart." So, to give me an undivided heart. So we would be undivided heart. We don't want the things of this world, but we want things of God. We want the God of all. "That I may fear your name." So have reverence for him to, you know, when we have fear for his name, it draws us to him. "And I will praise you, O my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave." And this is the God that we pray to. He's the one who delivered us from the depths of the grave. Before Christ, we were dead. In Christ, now we are alive. Do we believe that? Right? So when we ask, when God asks us to do something, do we trust his character? Do we trust God? See, the thing is, do we know his character? Kind of silent. Right? Do we know his character? And his character is found throughout the scriptures of really who he is. He's trying to reveal to us what his character is all about. He wants us to know him, to seek after him, to know that he's the only God who will answer our prayer. You know, in Isaiah 46, 9 to 10 says, I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, not yet done. Ancient times, things not yet done. Say, my counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purposes. God will accomplish what he wants. The body of Christ ought to know how to walk with God and to know how to hear his voice with confidence. And I think sometimes we lack that confidence. Would that be true? We need to be honest, right? If we're lacking confidence to knowing that we don't really hear God's voice, right? If we lack that, we need to be honest. Say, Lord, I don't have the confidence. Maybe reveal to me why I don't have that confidence. And also, I think mentoring one another helps. If somebody knows how to hear God's voice more clearly, would you not ask them, can you teach me how to hear God's voice more clearly? Right? It's about mentoring. It's about developing. And I think sometimes we allow pride to just get in our way and say, I'm not going to ask so-and-so, because I don't want to look foolish, because I've been a believer for so many years and I don't know if I really hear God's voice. But don't let pride stop you. When we hear God's voice, when we get more comfortable or confident of knowing that we hear God's voice, how would you think that changes our prayer life? Would it change your prayer life if you're more confident if you hear God's voice? Right? I think I think of Exodus 20. Think of that. In Exodus 20, verse 18, I think it's when the people, this is after the Ten Commandments, right there at Mount Sinai, and the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountains in smoke, and they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance. I think sometimes we stay at a distance because We don't think that we're worthy to come to God. Right? And we want somebody else to hear from God rather than us. And we'd rather have somebody to speak to God on our behalf and tell us what God might be saying instead of us going directly to God and hearing from him what he is saying. Because they stayed at a distance and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. And we know how that went. They listened for a little bit until Moses went back up, and then he came down, they built another altar, the golden calf, right? So when we pray and we start hearing God's voice, it's going to help us to really want to know him and the things, and then we'll start not having this undivided heart, but our heart would be sold out for him, right? So it's important for us to know and hear God's voice so that we could walk with him, commune with him, and that we know that he answers our prayers. And then that our confidence will grow, that we know that we hear from him. So that I don't need to go to so-and-so, can you pray for on my behalf, so that will tell me what God's going to hear. But no, God doesn't want that. He wants a relationship with each one of us, so that we would grow with him and to have a love and admiration for him. The thing that stops us is us. God has made it possible for us to come to him in, through Christ, and have confidence to come to him at any given time. But yet, sometimes we think that we do not measure up, or that we're not good enough, or look at all the things I have done. And so maybe that stops us from praying. You know, Hebrews 11:6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe in that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. When we go to him in prayer, it's like we earnestly seek him. He rewards those. Isn't that a great reward to know the Lord himself on a deeper level? In Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and you find me when you search for me with all your heart. God wants us to pray. He wants us to come to him and to come to know him. But yet, we are reluctant. We don't want to. We hold off. But you know, Jeremiah 29:13, if you remember, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Search for him. Go to him in prayer. I think of when we, at night or in the morning, during the day, go to him in prayer. You know, my hope that our prayer life will become passionate. Our focus would be on honoring our Heavenly Father. And that's why I desire us to be a church of prayer. That we would be personally people of prayer. And then you look through Acts and how the church prayed. I see how through the New Testament, throughout the whole Bible, how when people prayed, how God moved. To me, it's amazing. Why does God want us to pray? He's a God that knows the beginning and the end. He's the one that knows what you need before you even ask, right? He knows all that. But why does he want you to pray? Yeah, just I'll answer. What does he want you to pray?
It's a sweet incense.
Yeah? He talks about that, yeah. It's aroma to his nostrils, yeah.
It helps us to incline our thoughts and heart.
Yeah. right? He wants us, it's a sweet aroma to him, because it talks about that in Revelation. It talks about it's a sweet aroma. It's an altar, that's where the incense, when they burnt incense, it was a reminder to the priests that our prayers were like incense. When they were lifted up, it was a sweet aroma unto God's nose. It's a sweet smell. And he wants us to pray. I think, so why are we reluctant to pray?
Unbelief.
Yeah. Could be unbelief, yeah. I'll read this this quote from a pastor, Vivian Fernandez. The greatest tragedy is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. You know, the reasons, so would it be cultural? Maybe in your culture, your background, we think, perhaps we're reluctant to ask people for help. Look at the Canadian society. For us, we are so self-sufficient. We have money, and yet we're very slow to come and ask for prayer. You know, we are very slow. We're reluctant to come up for prayer. We're very slow at asking for people for help. We're too proud. I think if we are that way in our own physical form, spiritually we'll be the same way. Because then, I don't want to bother God. He's too busy. Right? So if we got this mindset of in this picture of who God is, and we think God is this God that's sitting on this throne and he's glorified, how can I dare come to him with my little issue? But yet we read through Scripture and through his promises that he wants you to come to him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He doesn't want you to be reluctant to come to him. He wants you to come as you are, and he will change you. You can't think, I need to get right with this and this. You know, if there's sin, confess it. Get right with God. But he will change you. You know, perhaps we don't want to look foolish. Perhaps when we come up to the front, we don't want other people to say, well, why is he going up for prayer? Or is she coming up for prayer? Because we're too afraid of what others are going to think of us. If God is calling you, come up to share, like Susan shared this morning, that's a blessing. And it blessed all of us. Because it's revealing the goodness of God. Because I don't think we have a piano tied to our butts. Right? We could get up and come forward. I don't think, what's holding us back? Right? Pride is one. We have too much pride. Because we don't think that we need it. But pride is like, you think more highly of yourself than who God is. We live in a culture, everybody's individuals. We're not a culture of people where, you know, some cultures, everybody wants to be with family all the time, friends and family, right? We like doing our things on our own. Some cultures, you look at the Philippines, they always have family over. Lebanese, you have family over. A lot of Middle Eastern people, they're all have family. Ukrainians have family over. But a lot of cultures don't want to have people over. Right? God wants us to be more of a family and to share. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part. So when we have unoffered prayer and pride enters in, it actually stops a blessing. Because in James 5:16, I think it was James 5:16. I'll look. James 5:16. Let me find it. I think I found it. Yeah, no, it says, therefore, 5:16, the prayer of faith, says, therefore, confess your sins to each other, right? And pray for each other so that you may be healed. Yeah. Praying for each other and that you will be healed, that you may be healed. No, we confess our sins to one another, but then it's coming together in a corporate setting, and that you will be healed because other people are praying for you. And so if you have pride and they don't want to come forward, you're going to be robbed of a blessing because of the unanswered prayer. You know, it's just like when you come forward, other people will come around you and pray for you. And God will answer that prayer. God wants us to be prayerful. He wants us to be, we're all one body, but he wants us to feel comfortable and secure in this body to come forward and ask for prayer. Even at home, even anywhere. Text somebody, says, you know, I need prayer. I need, you know, help me in this. I'm having a difficult time. Can you pray for me? Text a bunch of people. Talk to your spouse. But I mean, right? Talk, right? If your spouse doesn't want to pray with you, you know, you go to somebody else that will pray, right? But have people that you could trust, that you know they will pray, right? And so that's amazing in 5:16, you know? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. So pray for each other, so that you may be healed. It's coming together and praying for one another. Right? You know, I think of 2nd, you know, Christ is the head of the body. And he's the one who answers the prayers. But we're coming to him in faith. We're coming to him under his authority. He's given us the authority to come and pray. He makes it open for us to come and pray. In 2 Corinthians 1:11, you think of Paul. So 2 Corinthians, if you have a Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians 1:11. This is Paul asking. He says, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Paul's asking the church to pray. He's asking the church of Corinthians to pray. You think of Paul. He's a man of faith, right? He did a lot of things, and God used him for many things. And yet he's asking the church to pray for him. So when we're talking about prayer, it's about praying for one another, to pray for the body of Christ. Isn't that something that he's asking for prayer? A man, when you think of Paul, how God used him, and he's asking the church to pray. It's very humbling. He was asking for prayer, and the church prayed because they want to glorify God. So another reason why we don't pray is perhaps bitterness. People come angry at God because he delays in answers. Or because, you know, that's another thing. This last week, I've been learning about why God delays in his answers. And it's for our benefit. Do you know that? There's a proper time for his prayers to be answered. And he delays in those. And if we get bitter and resentful towards God because he hasn't answered a prayer as soon as we think he should be answering it, then we get bitter and resentful towards God. And that reveals our heart. We are a society that we think we need it now, and we deserve it now, and I better get it now, or else I'm going to throw a tenter tantrum. Isn't that true? You think if you're at the drive-in, drive-through, and it's like, you know, it's been 1 minute, and I don't have my coffee. And you're like, hurry up, I got things to do. Right? We start complaining. Think of this, how culturally it brings that into our prayer life. When God does not answer it in our timing, it's his timing, we have to remember. He delays our prayers for a reason, for our benefit. He delays prayers for our benefit and for our well-being because he knows better than what we do. He knows we were going to get this prayer. He says, I will answer these prayers, but it's in my timing. It's in his will. And so if we're bitter, that's going to hinder us from praying. And that should turn us towards God and say, Lord, forgive me for my bitterness and my resentment because of delayed prayer. Delayed answer to my prayer, I should say. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever been there? God, why have you not been answering my prayer?
Oh, yes.
Right? It is amazing. But I know God has better plans. And he will answer that prayer. And sometimes he might not answer to how we want our prayers to be answered. Because he knows better than us. But that doesn't change from us from asking in Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, and knock. Keep praying, keep asking. Don't give up. Don't let bitterness, resentment, or anything get in your heart. Because that's going to affect your prayer life. Right? Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Because God wants to answer prayers. He wants you to come to him. I think sometimes we get lazy. Distractions. Right? We get lazy and we get so many distractions in our lives. And we have too many comforts. Right? Think of the comforts that we have. And that I think that culturally we get lazy and distracted because we don't really have any desires. If you need to be praying for food the next day, you would be praying for food. If you need the bills to be paid, you would be praying really hard. Lord, I'm praying that you would pay my bills. The finances would come in for that. You would be praying, right? Perhaps we're undisciplined. And we do not rise to greet the risen Lord. So a lot of times we're undisciplined. And so we don't want to pray. Right? We think we don't meet the conditions. I think that's the biggest one. Because I hear that a lot. We think that we do not meet the conditions. Do you know how you know you meet the conditions? Because of Christ, because of the blood of the Lord. He made you. He fulfilled that condition that you come to the Father with confidence because of Jesus, because you have given your life to Christ. And now you are his child, that he will give his children his good and pleasing gifts when they are in his will. You know, you think of the Last Supper, how Jesus shared the lessons with his disciples. He knew they would all forsake him. He knew Peter would deny him. he said, Peter, you'd go along to deny me three times before. And Peter goes, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And yet, to all these who had, to all, you know, Jesus knew that they were going to deny him. But he shared. And he said, you know, pray. But he says, Jesus says, if you abide in me and I in you, because he shared this with them before he got arrested. If you abide in me and I in you, whatever you wish, it will be given to you. John 15:5-8. Jesus told them that before he got arrested. If you abide in me and I in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. The Lord knows how we're going to behave at times. He knows what we're going to do. But nobody abides perfectly. Nobody. Jesus says he will answer your prayers. So when you look at, nobody abides perfectly. But Jesus, in the same breath, is saying that, come to me. Pray to me. And I will answer. We are qualified because we've given our lives to Christ. And we are his by the blood of Christ. He cleanses us and redeems us. That brings us back to the Father. To make us in right standing with the Father. That's what qualifies us. And that's the confidence that we could have to pray to God. To the Almighty God. The Alpha and the Omega. To think that we do not meet the conditions is believing a lie from Satan. Point blank. If we're believing a lie from Satan, then we need to take after that thought to make that thought obedient to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Right? We are qualified. And if we pray, we'll discover, that it is a part of abiding. Because prayer not only changes things, it changes us. Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing why we don't want to pray, because we too much love how we are. Mm-hmm. Right? I think that's one another reason why we don't want to pray, because we know God changes prayer, changes lives, he affects lives. Mm-hmm. When we come to Christ, we are changed because of him. And we don't want to pray because we're like, Lord, I like how I am. But he goes, I want you different. And I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to change your perspectives. I'm going to change your desires. Amen. And your desires change for the better. So we let go of things. So the story of Elijah's prayers in 1 Kings chapter 17-18, it's amazing how God used Elijah, and God used many other people, but according to James 5, it says, Elijah prayed that the heavens would not rain on earth for 3 years, right? He prayed that the rain would not fall, right? So after 3 years, God said to Elijah, so 1 Kings 18:1 says, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send the rain on the land. So go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send the rain to the land. So who's going to send the rain? How do you know that? Okay, remember that. There's a promise. Right? Here's the promise. Okay, if you were Elijah, and God said, go prepare yourself, go to King Ahab, and I will send the rain. Okay, Lord, I'll do this because you just told me to. Right? You're going to go. And after the fire contest, you know, Elijah had with Baal's priests, you know, they beat themselves, they cut themselves, and they cried out, and their God couldn't answer a prayer. And Elijah prayed. He says, well, here, before we put all this wood on the sacrifice, let's pour all these gallons of water and let it totally be drenched, and water was overflowing from the trenches. Like, I think it's good enough soaked. But he's having confidence, knowing who God is. And he prayed, and God answered. It consumed everything. The water, the rocks, the whole thing. So what was, when Elijah was there praying for the rain, reveals that he had to pray persevering. He persevered through it. James 5, let's go, I won't turn that before I read. Okay. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was just like us. So Elijah was just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So he prayed earnestly. Did he give up? Because he prayed the first time. Remember when he was on the mountain, Mount Carmel? He was praying to God, and he says, praying for rain. And then he asks the servant, go and check, see if there's a cloud. The servant came back, no cloud. So he prayed a second time. And he says to the servant, go and see if there's a cloud. No cloud. Third time he prayed, no cloud. Then the fourth, fifth, and the sixth time he prayed, and there was no clouds. How many of us were given up after the fourth time? Because remember what God said to him, I will bring the rain. Remember that promise. Elijah was remembering that promise that God told him, that I will bring the rain. So he knew that he needed to be faithful in his prayer. And on the seventh time, he prayed. And then he asked the servant, go see if there's a cloud. And the servant comes back and goes, yeah, there's a cloud the size of a fist. Now you're like, are you kidding me? How are you going to bring a rain from that? Right? But Elijah knew God would bring the rain. And then it talks about how the rain, the clouds, the sky got dark and the more thunder clouds came. And Elijah told Ahab, harness up your chariot before the rain comes. This is before it rained. He knew it was going to be such a downpour. But he held on and persevered through prayer, because God could give him a personal word, a personal promise. How many times have we stopped praying because God gives us personal promises throughout the scriptures. When we read his word, a rhema word would come. A rhema is like a personal promise from God. It'd be like, I'm going to write this down in my prayer journal. And Lord, thank you for giving me this promise. I'm going to take hold of this promise. And I'm going to pray. And I know you might delay, but I'm going to still pray. I'm going to persevere through prayer. I'm not going to give up because I know who you are. I know who you say you are. I know your character, who you are. So I'm going to pray without ceasing. See, that's another thing. Prayer without ceasing. Take hold of that promise. You know, Elijah was a man like us, right? Did he sin? Was he ever discouraged? Did he ever want to quit? Scripture says 100% he was all of that. But yet, God used him. See how God qualifies us? And how we are qualified because of Christ today? That we have this confidence that we could come to Christ at any given time and pray and seek and knock, and he will give, you know, within his parameters of what it, you know, but he will give. He wants to accomplish this in our lives. It's amazing how sometimes we don't want to pray. And we ask, Lord, why is my life the way it still is? Perhaps we're not persevering through prayer. Maybe because we're reluctant because we got so cushy in our where we're at, but we don't want to change. Perhaps we don't know God's character. But we could ask. Bless you, John.
It wasn't on purpose.
No. But you think how Elijah, even after it rained, he ran down the hill and he beat Ahab down the hill. But even the next chapter, he regressed and hid in a cave because of death threat against his life. He was a man of frailty. He was a man of uncertainty. But he knew who God was. I think in our lives that we don't really know who God is until we really experience who God is, a personal encounter with him. For the next couple weeks, I want to just talk about the importance of prayer and just even start and maybe do some exercises how to hear God's prayer or his voice. Because God is speaking. He's always speaking. Are we listening? You know, as perhaps something stood out to you, you know, why don't we pray? Is there pride in our life? Are we gotten lazy? Are we reluctant? You know, what's stopping us from praying to the glorified Lord Jesus? What is stopping us? You know, it's if God speaks to you about that, write it down. I think sometimes when we write it down, it helps us to remember it. Mm-hmm. So we could go in prayer and ask God to help you and to help you through that time. Why am I reluctant to pray, Lord? You show me. And write down the very first thing that comes to your mind. Don't be scared to write it down. You'll be amazed what he'll say. But don't be scared. Right? So, as we close, I pray that be encouraged to pray. That we'd be totally encouraged to pray today. And we'd be encouraged to pray every day. Father, we just thank you for how you move in our lives and how you're always speaking to us. And Lord, thank you that you qualify us to come to you and ask anything in your name. Lord, that you say that. You qualify us. And Lord, as your children, we are coming to you. And I just pray, Lord, that you would stir in our hearts a hunger and a thirst to pray to you, to seek you with all our heart. Lord, that we would desire to know you and to desire to grow with you, to grow deeper with you, to walk, Lord, as a man after your own heart. Lord, that we would have different perspectives. Lord, and not our perspective, but we would have a perspective of yours. So, Lord, I pray that you encourage us and strengthen us as we go our days. Lord, that you continue to speak to us. And, Lord, that we would write it down and we'll go to you in prayer. But, Lord, I pray that we would also come and ask people to help when we were in difficulty, to pray with us. Lord, let us not have pride to be in our way. But, Lord, let us come as children. Father, I just pray that you will continue to bless us and encourage us and strengthen us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.